blessed by the series. How many of you guys have been blessed by the series as well? And it is a process. A lot of times, I know for me personally, my brain is very analytical, so I want an equation. I want an A plus B equals C. And with wholeness, the Lord has had to slow me down and tell me that it's a process, it's dynamic, it's constant activity, it's constant progress. It's individualized, there's no one size fits all. And it's a lifelong pursuit. And so as we go through this series today, I want you guys to know that I'm not trying to oversimplify or make it catchy or anything like that, because this is a process and it is dynamic and ever changing. But I want to be able to share some principles with you guys that we should be aware of that can serve as a guide on our lifelong journey in the pursuit of wholeness, okay? God created us on purpose, for a purpose, and with a purpose. And we'll only experience the fullness of that if we are in pursuit of wholeness. So the title of this message is The Pursuit of Wholeness. For those of you that like to have notes organized, The Pursuit of Wholeness is the title. And as we engage in the message today, I want us to keep this driving question at the forefront of our minds. So what are the preconceived notions that I have about God, myself, and others? So as we engage today, keep that in mind. What are the preconceived notions that I have about God, myself, and others? Okay? So our first stop, if you will, in this journey to wholeness is going to be spiritual wholeness. We know we start there because that's what got us whole in the first place, right? So we're going to look at how to pursue wholeness spiritually, okay? So I want you guys to turn in your Bibles with me to Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. Colossians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. And I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. So the first stop into this pursuit of wholeness is spiritual wholeness. And the way that we pursue spiritual wholeness is to accept fully. So point number one, spiritual wholeness. How do we pursue it? We accept fully. Okay? I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture. It says, "For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you are also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority." I want to lay some foundational work, and I know that Pastor Vince did this on the first day of the series, but spiritual wholeness is not dependent on our actions, but on the acceptance of God acting through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. And it's because of our faith in Christ and what he's done on our behalf that God is able to pronounce us whole, and thankfully, our own failures don't disqualify us from his permanent decision. How many of y'all are thankful that our actions don't disqualify us? I know I am. I'm raising my foot. Because, Lord, if it was on me, I'd be under the center of the earth. Amen? And it's based on the merit of Christ and not our own merit. And so it is key that we accept fully that statement. And it may sound like, well, I know I accepted it. I'm saved. I accepted it. Moment of salvation. However, when we don't fully accept this, our perception is distorted. See, our actual connection is established. But when we don't accept this truth fully, we have a distorted perception of our spiritual wholeness. And we'll struggle to experience the fullness of what God has already done in us and is trying to get born out of us. Okay? So, how do we accept fully? How do we fully accept the spiritual wholeness and the spiritual work that has already been done in us and perfected in us through Christ? We have to set aside preconceived notions and preconceptions and let Jesus tell us who he is, okay? So in this work with our spirit, our being and doing are synonymous. Everything that we do, serving, going to church, praying, studying the word, all these things are to be done so that we can know God better, so that any of the misconceptions or preconceived notions that we have about him can be eliminated through time with him, okay? And so there are some things and attributes and things about us that we've attributed to the Lord and actually have nothing to do with him, okay? There are some things and some thoughts that we have and some patterns and ways and habits that we just naturally do because it comes, quote unquote, naturally to us. But we have to fully accept and rest in that truth so that we can know who Jesus is and who he wants to be and show up for in our lives. Amen? So once again, accepting fully is the first stop in our pursuit of wholeness, and that is to pursue spiritual wholeness. We are accepting fully. And like as I said before, this process happens lifelong. You are continually having to accept fully. It's not just a one and done, because there are a whole bunch of things as we get further into the message that are trying to push you off of that acceptance. And so that acceptance will cause us to reject a lot of stuff, a lot of junk that tries to come in our way. Amen? Okay. So our second stop on our pursuit of wholeness is the mind. So our thoughts. Okay. The mind. So we are going to look at what does it mean to pursue wholeness in our mind. And I want you guys to go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I'll be reading from the Passion Translation, just to let you know. And so how we pursue wholeness in our mind, we have to empty completely. So point number two is to empty completely. I know y'all are like, these are some weird little, I'm probably using English rules and grammar all wrong, but I promise you it's going to make sense in a little bit. So empty completely, right? So I'm going to go ahead and read the scripture. It says, we can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture, like prisoners of war, every thought and insist that it bow in obedience to the Anointed One. During the first part of our series, Pastor Vince said something really important. I want to reiterate. He said, our current status of life is connected to our way of thinking. I know our pastor gets up here frankly and says, y'all remember what I said 5 days ago or 5 minutes ago. But, Pastor, I remember what you said. So I just wanted to give you a shout out for that. I didn't want to claim it as my own and not give credit. So I do remember. So the problem with our thoughts is that every thought isn't ours to begin with. So everything that comes into our head is not us, and it's definitely not from God. So that's why we have to lean into what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. We have to destroy and empty our mind completely of every thought, idea, attitude, mindset that opposes God's truth. And that truth is that we have a permanent loving connection and relationship with God who's made us whole and complete through the act of Christ's obedience. So I want you to imagine, now I know everybody in here is saved, sanctified, and whole, but as for me, you know, I have been to a club a time or two in my past. And so at some of these establishments, a time or two, Pastor Vince. And at some of these particular establishments, they have a bouncer. And a bouncer typically is like a strong, you know, gentleman who is standing there and checking IDs, checking bags, and making sure you pass the litmus test or pass the test to get inside. Now, you know, at some point in my life, I don't know, you know, personally, but I've heard that people may have used fake IDs in the past, right? So I don't know anything about this because I am completely whole and complete, like I just said in the first point. I'm whole. But they are trained to detect when someone is trying to, you know, get in, and they will definitely escort you, kick you, and even if you get in and act crazy, they'll get you out, right? So I want you guys to imagine that in your mind you have this same type of bouncer in there. And any thought that doesn't match what I just said, that we have a permanent loving connection and relationship with God who made us whole and complete through Christ's obedience, anything that comes in doesn't line up with that, that bouncer has to kick it out, okay? So I think that sometimes when we hear this scripture, we are able to think about those big ticket items, like, oh, no, I'm not supposed to have a lust, or I'm not supposed to have grit, or it's those big ticket items that we know we're not supposed to think about. But I'm here to tell you there are some other thoughts that come to us that are more elusive and more subtle, right? So some thoughts that say, God is distant from me. He wouldn't want to be with me when I'm like this. Or God, you know, life is so unfair. It hasn't worked out yet. It's never going to work out. If I don't have it by 9, I ain't gonna ever have it, right? Or God hates me because I just can't seem to shake this thing that won't let me go. And all of those things are against the truth of our loving and permanent relationship we have with God. So it's very important that we eliminate those. So how do we empty completely? How do we do that? So the first thing we have to do is to test every thought, okay? Don't believe everything you think, okay? Test every thought. Put everything that comes in your mind through that filter. Hey, does this line up with my permanent and loving connection I have with God through Christ's obedience? If it does, great, it can stay. If not, it's gone, okay? Wear your helmet. Wear your helmet. So we know that we have a full armor and body armor of God. And we're not going to go there, but you guys can take this in your notes. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 17 through 18. We're not going to go there, but I just want to admonish you that scripture tells us that embrace salvation's full deliverance like a helmet to protect your thoughts from lies. So the salvation that we receive through our spirit is a helmet, and it's there to protect us from any lies that try to come in, okay? And also, we have to nourish our mind. We have to nourish our mind, okay? Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. We have to nourish our mind. And so as you guys turn to that scripture, I just want to reiterate that once we firmly accept fully what happened in our spirit at the moment of salvation, right? Now we have that acceptance. Now we transfer to our thoughts and our mind. And so anything that is against what we've already fully accepted, we get rid of, okay? So I'm weaving a little narrative. So Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise." Now, looking at this particular scripture, that sounds like accepting fully God's truth. Amen? Okay, so that is how we empty completely. We test our thoughts. We let that bouncer kick out ones that don't align with what we've already accepted fully. We wear our helmet of salvation, and we nourish our mind. Okay? So, we're trekking on in our pursuit of wholeness, and the next stop is our emotions. Our emotions. Emotional wholeness. Okay? Turn with me to Psalm 46, chapter 10. Psalm chapter 46, verse 10. Excuse me. So how do we pursue wholeness emotionally? And that is the third point, is that we rest totally. We rest totally. I want you to notice something before I get into the scripture, that all these three points about accepting fully, empty completely, and rest totally, these are passive verbs and not action verbs, right? So even though the title is The Pursuit of Wholeness, really as we engage in this, I hope you're realizing that really it's not so much as a pursuit in action. It's more of the Lord pursuing us with what he's already done. So it's a paradigm shift and flipping it on his head. So Psalm 46:10, and I'm reading from the Passion Translation, it says, "Surrender your anxiety, be still and realize that I am God. I am God above all the nations, and I am exalted throughout the whole earth." Right? This scripture is very revealing to us in that a key component to having intimate knowledge of God is to rest, to be still. You know, our emotions are great indicators, but they're horrible leaders in our life. I think we all can admit that, right? So emotions are great indicators. I'm not up here attempting to tell you to dismiss your emotions, because God doesn't even do that. He just promises to deliver us from them, right? So I'm not telling you that. They're great indicators, but horrible leaders. Anybody in here who's made a decision or been led by your emotions can attest to that, right? Yes, okay? Our emotions can sometimes try to talk us out of what we know to be true about the character of God. And so it's important that we consistently engage in periods of rest and restoration. During the second part of our series, Pastor Ashley said something that stuck with me. And she said that you will only see what's in your spirit through your body when it's processed in your soul. Okay? Shout out to Pastor Ashley. I'm going to say that one more time. Pastor Ashley said you will only see what's in your spirit through your body when it's processed in your soul. And so we know our soul is comprised of our mind, our thoughts, and our emotions. And so everything that we see manifested in our lives is a byproduct of the spiritual truths we fully accepted and aligned with our soul, or what we haven't fully accepted and fully aligned our thoughts and our emotions with. Okay? So I want to spend a little bit of time just talking about the fact and recognizing that as we travel through life, we often pick up and carry certain things. And certain things are given to us as we go through life, certain traumas, certain experiences, certain disappointments. And we often carry more than we need to. And these take a toll on us emotionally. I'm going to quote something from prophetess Erica Badu, who I'm, by the way, I'm sure that she probably calls herself a prophetess. but in her famous hymnal, Bag Lady, one of the parts of the song that always stuck out to me, it says, Bag Lady, you gonna miss your bus. You can't hurry up because you got too much stuff. And I think about how many times that buses or opportunities or things have happened and we have missed them because we just got too much stuff and we can't run. We can't hurry up, okay? We don't have to carry everything we pick up and hold on to everything that's given to us. We don't have to. We have a choice in the matter. Matthew 11:30, just write it down. We're not going to go there for time's sake. But Matthew 11:30 says, "For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." So if you have anything that's causing you to miss the bus, anything that's heavy, anything that's causing you to look like a bag lady, it's not from God. And you got to put it down, let it go, okay? And when babies experience restlessness or discomfort, parents pick them up. And the security and safety from their parents settles their emotions and brings peace. We know that to be true. Anybody who's parents or has been around babies, you know that to be true, right? And that's exactly what we need to do. You know, we are God's children, not his adults. Nowhere in the Bible does he call us his adults. He always refers to us as his children, right? And so we need to rest in our Father's arms, knowing that he has promised to never leave us or forsake us and will protect, defend, and provide for us. Okay? I want to give an example in the Bible. And there are a couple of examples in the Bible of people who dealt with emotional and mental turmoil and torment. But I want to talk specifically about Elijah for a little bit because I think there are some principles there that we can lift from Elijah's example on how we can rest totally. And so write this down for reference because we're not going to go there. In 1 Kings chapters 18 through 19, it talks about this particular time in Elijah's life. And Elijah was battling depression and suicidal thoughts. I know that's like taboo mentioned in the church. Like what? He wasn't blessed and highly favored prophet of God? Yes, he was those things, but also battled depression, had suicidal thoughts. And this was after experiencing some of the biggest highs of his life. He prayed for rain after 7 years and saw it happen after a 7-year drought. He outran a chariot. I mean, if I could outrun a chariot, I feel like I would never be upset. But even after all those things he saw God do and how God used him, he still said, "Lord, just take me out the game. I just can't do it anymore." And it's funny how somehow you can have the biggest achievements and experience the biggest areas of growth, and right after that still comes those feelings of inadequacy and those feelings of, "I'm not enough." And so something very important happened with Elijah is that God didn't condemn him. God didn't preach at him. God didn't tell him to confess certain things 1,000 times. Confessions are great. I'm not saying that. But what God did is send an angel to comfort him while he rested. He sent an angel to comfort him while he rested. And I want to, because I feel like I need to kind of say something. we have to realize that as Christians and as, you know, all the Christian needs we've heard over the years and everything we've learned in church sometimes can put us to a place where we think that it is a failure to experience moments of depression or helplessness or those different things. And it's not, okay? It is not a failure because we already have the victory, right? And so we're coming from a place of victory. So if you need to seek out support and to seek out help, whether that's a licensed professional, reach out to your church, reach out to a friend. Notice God sent an angel. He sent somebody to Elijah, right? And so God has those opportunities. So seek the Lord about who, what angel he's put in your life, what angel, who you need to seek out to for support, amen? But he rested totally. And so how do we rest totally? How do we rest totally? So we take time off, okay? Sabbath. Rest is not a reward for hard work. I know sometimes we think I can rest after I do A, B, C through whatever. Let me tell you, A through Z is always going to be there, okay? It's a time to move from production to presence, and it reminds us that we are not God, okay? It reminds us that we're not God, and that everything is still going to be incomplete, but we need that presence. We need to get to know God more intimately so that we can operate from him instead of for him, okay? That's the key distinction. God wants us to operate from a place of our intimate knowledge of him, not just doing mindlessly because we think that we have to do for God. We're doing for God. Yes, we are. But in essence, it's really from him because he's done all the work. Amen? Okay? Also, we need to share honest feelings. Elijah was extremely transparent. I know we read Psalms. David, extremely transparent. Okay? Extremely vulnerable. Okay, and there is actual studies of neuroscience and psychology that say when you put your problems and your emotions into words, it aids the brain in processing them. So even in the natural, right, even in natural principles, being able to put those things in words helps you begin to heal. And so we need to share honest feelings. And also doing this, we need to get a renewed perspective. So at the end of Elijah's story, once he was comforted by the angel, once he rested, God was able to then, from that place of rest, communicate with him and help him shift his perspective. So he went from his perspective to God's perspective. And that's what happens. Once we rest totally, and once we take those time to be renewed and refilled, we're able to get a perspective shift. So it may not change what's going on. However, our perspective and how we view it changes. Amen? Okay, so the next journey, pit stop on our pursuit of wholeness is our body, physical wholeness. So before we get into that, I just want to kind of go back and kind of reiterate and recapture. I'm sorry, I'm an administrator now, but I'm always a teacher, so I'm always doing my checks for understanding and recaps in the message. So please forgive me if this seems very teacher-like. So the first thing we talked about spiritually is to do what? Except fully. Thank y'all. If I had we do have candy, but they're obsessed with the kids. Anyway, so yes, we accept fully. So once we fully accepted the truth that our connection and our relationship that is loving is permanently established with the Lord, then that allows us to go to our next stop of our thoughts, which what do we have to do with our thoughts? Empty completely. So we empty our thoughts completely, anything that's not aligned with what we've already accepted fully. So we've accepted it fully. We go to our thoughts. Anything that's taking space, real estate in our mind and in our thoughts, that's against what we've accepted fully, we bounce it out. And now, once we are from a place, we've accepted fully, our thoughts are only on those things we've accepted. Now we get to a place where we do what with our emotions? Rest totally. And we're resting in the truth that we've already accepted and firmly established on, amen? So see those different points. So now we get to our last part, physical. And I want you guys to turn to 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. And in order to pursue wholeness in our body, we have to cultivate habitually. We have to cultivate habitually. Okay. So 3 John chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are as healthy in body as you are strong in spirit." When it comes to our physical component and our body, and I've ordered these in a way on purpose because everything kind of builds on the other and comes from that place. But a lot of times, and I know for me, we kind of let this be last in our mind. We kind of let this be last in our thoughts. And the Bible is full of examples. We just read in this scripture that our physical condition should be a representation. It's very important. And I know for me, you know, a lot of times I tell the Lord, listen, there are so many areas of my life where I'm praying, I'm trying to do all these things, trying to make sure I do my devotional time and whatever. Let me have my lemon pepper wings. Just let me have something. Just let me have this Popeyes. Just let me enjoy. Like, I live in Atlanta. Please just let me enjoy everything it has to offer. And so the Lord said, okay. And he took me to this scripture, Proverbs chapter 3. I want you guys to go there next. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. And I got really excited when the Lord took me to Proverbs chapter 3 because Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, which is familiar for most of us, is one of my favorite places in the Bible. You know, lean not into your own understanding. I was like, great. And he was like, yeah, you got that, but go to chapter verse 7. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. It says, "Don't be impressed with your own wisdom. Instead, fear the Lord and turn away from evil." I was like, okay. I'm not wise. I got it, Lord. He said, no, keep reading. "Then you will have healing for your body and strength for your bones." I said, I got you. I get where you're going with this. So at the end of the day, as I stated before, the expectation for wholeness is that all parts of our being, from spirit to soul to body, are in the same condition as our spiritual wholeness is. Okay? So what does it mean to cultivate habitually? So the word cultivate means to prepare the environment for something to thrive. So agriculturally speaking, if you have a farm that's for certain crops, depending on what you're growing, you have to do different things to the land to prepare it, right? And so if we are habitually cultivating as it relates to physical wholeness, it means that we have repeated actions of keeping our bodies in environments where it can thrive. That means externally, and it means internally. So our lifestyle choices, okay? So we are consistently, we're making a habit. We do these actions so much it becomes ingrained in us that our bodies are in environments, our internal environments, which means our biology, our physiology, and our external environments where our bodies can thrive, okay? We cannot aspect this area of our wholeness. We cannot through our wholeness process. According to the World Health Organization, about 60% of related factors to individual health and quality of life are correlated to lifestyle. 60% are correlated to your lifestyle. And, you know, when we look at the scriptures and we look at Jesus' ministry while he was here on earth, he heavily emphasized healing the sick. He heavily emphasized the connection between healing and spiritual principles. What's happening in our bodies to spiritual principles. And so if it was enough for Jesus' ministry to focus on, it's enough for it to be our focus as well, okay? So how do we cultivate habitually? How do we cultivate habitually? So the first thing that we have to do is we have to go from knowledge to revelation, okay? Knowledge to revelation. They call this age that we live in the information age, and there's no shortage of ways you can Google, you can I don't even know if Bing is still a thing. I hope not. But you can do whatever you need to do to find information, right? It's not hidden in encyclopedias. It's not anything like that. And so what happens is you can get information overload or knowledge overload. But you have to ask the Lord and invite him into those different facts. Ask the Lord to reveal himself in the knowledge and information that you receive as it relates to your physical wholeness, as it relates to cultivating habitually, maintaining our bodies and environments internally and externally that can thrive. That's how you go from facts to acts. See, a lot of us have a lot of facts. I know for me, I love learning facts. I love to learn. That's a good thing. However, on certain areas, I'm slow to act. And when it comes to physical, I'm telling on myself, I'm slow to act. Amen. So I have to consistently ask the Lord to reveal himself in that information so I can move on that continuum from what I know to do to actually doing it. So moving from facts to acts. Amen. The second one is understanding that discipleship is discipline. Discipleship is discipline. So the root word of discipline is disciple. And all of us are disciples of Christ, right? And a lot of times when we talk about being a disciple of Christ, we leave it as a follower of Christ. And following him is one thing. But actually, the Latin word, the prefix dis, means to study, learn, train, and apply a system of standards. So when it comes to discipline, it's not just blind obedience to someone else's standards to avoid punishment. It's learning and applying intentional standards to achieve meaningful objectives. And so as disciples of Christ, it's important for us to be disciplined. And being disciplined, a part of that, or a huge part of that, or the crux and basis of it, is to study and to learn. Right? And so when it comes to trying to cultivate these habits, how many of you guys know we have to study, we have to learn. We have to be able to apply. We have to be able to do these different things so that we can achieve the objectives that we want. Okay? And the last piece of this is to exercise self-control. Exercise self-control. Now, I know, and I love the fact that the Lord enables us to always have areas in our lives that are blind spots so that we don't get too puffed up in ourselves. We can always be relatable to people. Amen. So there are some people I know that are amazing at cultivating habitually. They cultivate all these habits to do different things, to keep them keep their bodies in environments that they can thrive. And that's great. But what happens is that when you get so puffed up in what you can do in your self-control, you forget that it is not by you, it comes from you. That's why we have to hedge ourselves. So self-control comes from the indwelling and transformation by the Holy Spirit. So it proceeds from us, right? It's not by us, okay? So standing on that, when it comes to this physical wholeness, yes, it's great. We get the knowledge. We understand things we need to do. We reach out and seek support. We study. We learn. We discipline ourselves. But remember that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. So when you start to feel yourself having some issues with that, we have to come back, to the one who gave us the self-control and allow the Holy Spirit to help us come from us and not try to do it by ourselves, amen? I'm going to leave this last point with a quote from Pastor Greg Rochelle. He is, for those of you that don't know, he is founded the YouVersion Bible app. And so he's done a lot of great things in our OLI course for reading one of his books, Lead Like It Matters, which is phenomenal. And so he said this. He said, if it is important, you will find a way. If it's not, you will find an excuse. And so I think that as we prepare to close, in looking at all these components in our pursuit of wholeness, we've accepted fully, so we have our truths. We've emptied completely our mind of anything that's not aligned to those truths. We've rested totally. We've put our emotions, we've tucked them into that truth that we've accepted and that our mind is full of. And then finally, it's from that place of acceptance, from that place of emptying, rest, that we can cultivate habitually so that our physical condition and manifestation matches what already has happened in our spirit. Amen? Amen. So, as we prepare to close, being in pursuit of wholeness allows us to take our gaze and shift our focus. As I said before earlier, a lot of times our gaze and our intent focus is on our problems, on our areas of brokenness, on the things that we have missed the mark. And it's not on, and it's what we cannot do. That's what our focus is on, what we cannot do. But instead, we have to shift our focus to God or what God can do. And so in this pursuit of wholeness, we are able to shift the focus and be gazing at what God can do and only glancing or giving a slight focus or slight attention to the problems and things that we cannot do. When our thoughts and our emotions are crashing against us like waves, threatening to drown us in doubt, in disappointment, in discontentment. How many of y'all have been there? You had all these different things happen to you, and your physical and your mental and your emotional, everything is trying to come against you, and it's trying to drown you, it feels like, in those moments of doubt, disappointment, and discontentment. How many of you guys know we can rest in those storms? Because knowing that Jesus is with us, we can walk on whatever is trying to drown us. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to close out in prayer. Lord, we just come before you, thanking you for the word, thanking you for the spirit that went forth. Lord, I just pray that all of us remember that there is nothing, there's no person, there's nothing we can do, there's nothing that exists in this world that can change our loving relationship and connection with you through Christ's obedience. Father, we rest in that. We take hold of that. I pray that everyone, as they go about their week and they leave here, they eliminate anything in their life that is trying to pull them from the truth that they have fully accepted in you. Father, we thank you that in this pursuit of wholeness, you have equipped us with everything we need to live a life that pleases you. You've equipped us with the ability to be able to pursue wholeness, but in all actuality, it is you who is in pursuit of us. You are in pursuit of us to show us more of your character, to show us more of you, to show us more and give us more intimate knowledge into you so we can live the life that you created us for, on purpose, for a purpose, and with a purpose. And in Jesus' name I pray, amen.